recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Live, pal. WWF Hasbro figures have been around for a long time. Most people would point to Hasbro's as being the product line that brought everyone back to obsessive collecting in wrestling figures. Hasbro's might not have had the deepest and longest catalog of wrestling figures, but their story is equally as interesting. Interesting enough to actually write a book about. And this week's guest did exactly just that. Guys, the author of Hasbook is here, and I get to talk to him right now.
Grenville, how are you doing today?
I'm very well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you coming on with me, and you're doing some good stuff that we'll get into, but I kind of wanted to start back at the beginning and ask you where you were born and raised.
Yeah. So originally I'm South African. My parents are English. My dad was a pilot, so we kind of just traveled all over. But I moved here into the U.S., the St. Louis area, about 1995.
95, okay. When and how did you discover professional wrestling?
So I had a grandmother who lived in Portsmouth in the United Kingdom. And I would go over there usually once a summer for a couple of years. And technically not my cousin. He was a cousin of a friend, but just ended up becoming kind of like a cousin. He was into it. Huge. You know, his bedroom had the wallpaper, he had the bed sheets, and he had all the Hasbros. And I still remember the first match, and I don't remember who he's fighting, but I remember it was Tatanka. And that's just kind of one of my earliest memories of it. And I just became hooked when I came back. It was so that was about 94, because I remember when I came back, it was the big lead up to the Royal Rumble. And I remember seeing all this stuff with Owen Hart and Bret Hart and the Quebecers and all that stuff.
So did Tatanka become like a favorite wrestler of yours, or that just happened to be one of the first guys you saw?
No, Tatanka, yeah, he's not my favorite, but yeah, he's always been in my top five for sure. And I think a lot of it's just the nostalgia factor of that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So were the Hasbros your first exposure to figures? Is that where you started in collecting?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, you know, like anything, I'm an 80s kid, so I had He-Man. You know, probably my earliest action figure memory is of the Battle Armor He-Man. I still remember the pain you had when you tried to flick it with your fingernail, and 9 times out of 10, it didn't rotate. It just, you know, hurt. And then I was a big Lego kid, a big Ninja Turtles kid, and Playmobil as well. Once I started getting the Hasbros, it was pretty much that became my life when it came to action figures. Everything else, it was all wrestling. I became so obsessed with wrestling.
So on the wrestling figure side of things, do you remember what series you started in on the Hasbros, or had it already run its course, or where they?
Yeah, so that's, I'm trying to think, I don't remember the first ones. I remember, so at the time, again, I was still living in South Africa, and my dad was traveling to the U.S., so I remember I would actually send him, like, I'd talk to him on the phone and give him a list of ones that he wanted, and I really always wanted the British Bulldog, but that was not around. I remember the only ones I actually remember were the, series 6 was Sid Justice. That was the only ones I actually remember, the earliest ones I remember seeing in stores. So from then on, I would, you know, have my mom help me collect them. You know, I'd go buy them at Toys R Us or KB Toys, when we moved to the US. And then the earlier series, I actually would go to flea markets with my mother. She was a big flea market person, and I would actually run ahead of her, go to all the stores and find, you know, all the different figures, and I'd have to go run and find her, get the $5 or whatever it was going to cost to get it. So my Andre the Giant was one I remember finding at a flea market, and I was so excited, you know, because that was one of the big ones I really wanted.
If only we had a time machine. I mean, to think back to those times at those flea markets and stuff where you're able to pick some of these things up that are now in the high hundreds. Do you have like a all-time score or anything that you remember more than the rest that you were able to pick up at a flea market?
So for the most part, I mean, as a whole collection, there's very few I didn't have. The ones of the early ones, I never had. I'm trying to think here. I never had a Keem, and I never had the Macho Man purple one. So the Series 3 Macho Man. The rest I was able to get, and then the green series, the Evil Crush, and the white Trunks Yokozuna. And I'm trying to think, oh, and the purple Ultimate Warrior. So that would be what the Series 3 Ultimate Warrior. That was another one I was never able to find. And the other thing too is, you know, which is funny how as adults you get so obsessed, you know, back then if it was a different color, I didn't want it. So I never had the re-release of the Bushwhackers. I never had the re-release of the Razor Ramon. Same with Mr. Perfect. If I had one, I was fine with that.
I think I remember collecting similarly, and then now that we're adults and it's all the rage, it seems we're all, there's a lot more completionists, I guess, nowadays, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's almost like OCD on overdrive. It's really so that's why, if, you know, when I'm trying to collect other things, I really have to take that into account, because like for the Funko Pops, for one, that's something that I go back and forth on, but it's just my completionist makes it very hard to collect that, you know, that line.
Were you an LJN guy, or did you circle back to those, or did you just skip those?
I'll be honest, I never had an LJN. I think it's, I remember them, you know, maybe at the flea markets, but I didn't even look them twice, which is I kind of weird, but again, at the same time, it was just, you know, I think just the size put me off. And you know, when compared to the Hasbros, they just, you know, they just didn't have the same excitement, at least to me. So nothing against the LJN guys, though.
Yeah, you're right. They were two completely different animals. I don't know, maybe getting them in sequential order made it more palatable, but you're right. If trying to go backwards, I guess like anything else, things tend to get better over time, and then it kind of makes it hard to go back and find the same enthusiasm, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, a lot of it too was, you know, so I'd go to my dad was really nice about, you know, renting the VHS tapes. And so I'd just sit there and, you know, in front of the TV with my ring and all the wrestlers and just recreate the matches that were going on. So at the same time, it was nice. Yeah. I just wanted the guys I was seeing on TV. Because a lot of it, we didn't have cable, so a lot of my watching was kind of retrospective watching. So I watched over and over from probably 89, you know, to 95, 96, just on VHS tape, whichever ones I could get a hold of. I had a lot of the Coliseum video, just those random mix-up ones as well, where you just see these absolutely random matches, you know, with guys like Bret Hart and, you know, Yoko and all those guys.
Were you watching Superstars on Channel, well, I guess here in the Bay Area it was Channel 2, but Superstars and those kind of shows on TV, you know, the free channels?
Yeah, and those are the ones I remember, like the Superstars entrance. I just watched that on YouTube a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh my goodness, that brings back memories. But yeah, if it was on regular TV, you know, 2, 4, you know, 5, I was watching it. You know, and I had all the VHS, I would set the VCR recorder, you know, make sure it's all recording. And yeah, I just watched those over and over and over again.
Rabbit Ears and Saturday Night's Main Event at midnight and everything else.
Absolutely.
Moving forward from that, are you into the Mattel stuff? Do you still collect, or was it pretty much Hasbro's, or?
No. So I ended with Jax. So I graduated high school prior, it was 2002, and I kind of got out of wrestling right after that. In high school, I had a couple buddies that we would always rent the pay-per-views. And I'm not going to lie, I probably played with wrestling figures way later than I should have. I was, huge into, I actually build like little mini arenas, and it was, yeah, I would put on quite a show. But yeah, the Jax Bone Crunches were where it ended for me. I debated the Mattels, you know, when I got back into wrestling. But again, it's one of those where I got into it a little too late. And by that time, the prices for some of my must-have guys were just too expensive, like Demolition being one. So I just kind of stayed out of it.
Gotcha. I know a lot of people are hoping that they'll do another set just because, like you said, that set alone could it's gotten out of control.
Yeah, no, prices in general are just insane right now. I mean, I never would have predicted it, you know, and why it is, it's just, but there's a wave of nostalgia that, and perhaps the pandemic, you know, caused it a little bit, but, You know, you can just see it along every line. You know, the re-releases of the Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters, He-Man, you know, G.I. Joe. I mean, it's just, you know, they're really getting into that nostalgia era right now.
With the Hasbro connection that you have, did you get into the Mattel, like the retros then?
Yeah, so the retros, I'll be honest, is what actually got me back into Hasbros. And so in college, I sold all my Hasbros on eBay, except for my two Bret Harts, because he was my favorite wrestler. And what's funny is I remember the amount. I sold it for $150. I sold the entire set for $150 on eBay. Anyway, so long story short, yeah, so I was walking through Walmart and I saw the retro Ultimate Warrior and Undertaker, and it was just kind of one of those things. And you know, so I bought them, and then I was like, oh, you know, I should start collecting my old toys again. And then I started finding some Facebook groups. One in particular that I became a member of was Era on Facebook, and I started buying figures from them. And then within about a year, I pretty much had the entire series all collected again, or the all 11 series in hand again.
Wow. And so what was the time frame on that where you recaptured them?
So let's see here, probably 2014 maybe, or two. It was right when the series one came out, so maybe around 2014 2015.
Okay,
yeah, give or take.
Okay, and so what are your thoughts on, I mean, obviously, I kind of know the spoiler answer to this, but I'll ask, your thoughts on Chella's Atom Bomb and the figures that Chella's making, and Zombie Sailor, and a lot of people put out customs, and
yeah,
are you into any of that stuff at all, or?
You know, so I collected the retros. Again, the retros for me, I just collected the guys I wanted. That's the one I didn't really get too into the completionist part. Just the series with Seth, you know, Dean Ambrose, that just kind of ruined it for me. But to be honest, you know, it doesn't matter who's making them. I think it's great. You know, it's no matter what the, you know, what you think of them, you know, whether, so, you know, again, we can't be picky about what wrestlers are getting, because, you know, there's only so many that are available right now that don't have WWE contracts. But I think it's great. You know, it's bringing nostalgia. It's getting people excited about the line again. To me, it's like any remake. You know, it's not going to be exactly the same, but it's still getting people excited about something that was special to you when you were young. And I think, and it's keeping, you know, the memory of it alive. So I think it's great.
I agree. The Masters of the Universe mashup figures, I've been collecting the legends of those simply because they remind me of the AWA figures from Remco back in the day when I was a kid. And they're not, like you said, they're not exactly the same, but they're pretty close. And so I've been getting Steamboat and Piper and the legends, the not today's guys. So I get what you mean.
Yeah, I have to say I have a weird thing about, I love bootlegs, and especially the ones you used to see at the Dollar General. I used to collect a couple of those too. And, you know, so these to me are the closest, especially when you take all the gear off. Like I bought a Macho Man and I took all the gear off, and it looks just like a regular Macho Man, but in that bootleg He-Man style. And I dig it. It's so cool, you know. And the wrestlers are just that they're coming out with, you know, with Piper and, you know, Steamboat, all those guys, Jake the Snake. It's great. I think it's fantastic.
One of the things that I like to ask my guests on the show is any figures that you found out in the wild or online over the past week or so, whether it's on Amazon or eBay or in the stores, what figures have you found recently?
Let's see here. I was in a local, so there's a wonderful little vintage toy shop I go to called I Had That in Belleville, Illinois. And he had a spattering of random WWF Hasbros. And so I grabbed those because I there's some I wanted to upgrade my current figures. They're a little bit better condition. But I'm also working on a WrestleFest display that I want to kind of include some Hasbro figures in as well. So I got them as doubles. So I got those. Another thing I've been doing is I've actually gone kind of deep into collecting other lines of toys that I used to play with. So the big one I grabbed a whole bunch of, again, it's just from local vintage toy stores, is Captain Planet. Kind of out there, but it's one of those. I used to love that show as a kid. and I had a ton of those, so I grabbed those. I think, what else? Yeah, those are the only ones recently, the Captain Planet ones and the WWF Hasbros.
And hopefully you're catching those at a time where the prices haven't gone through the roof like the wrestling figures.
Yeah, you know, the Captain Planet ones surprised me because I didn't think that would be, you know, they're a little bit on the pricey side too. But luckily I'm collecting loose and I'm really not picky about accessories with those like I am with the Hasbros. So I'm getting them quite a bit cheaper. But yeah, no, even those are, you know, I mean, there was one that was, you know, $120, I think, for, you know, a Captain Planet figure. And I had no idea that even those were going for that price. But I think it doesn't matter what toy line it is. I mean, even Jack's figures, the Bone Crunchers are, you know, if you try and buy them on eBay, some of those are just crazy, crazy high as well.
Wow. Are you complete on a Hasbro collection at this point in time? Or are you trying to be? Or what's your Hasbro collection like today?
Yeah, no, Hasbro's is done. You know, the Hasbro's, I apart from the mail-aways, which will never happen. So, you know, I got a custom Hulk Hogan from Custom Boss. But yeah, no, otherwise, yeah, the Hasbro's are good. They're done. We just moved to a new house. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get the display working for all of them.
Oh, nice, man. Congratulations. I'm looking forward to that myself. I've got all this stuff, and I'm kind of at the stage now where I feel like, okay, I've got to get these displayed or get them out of here, because I can't rationalize having them in totes or boxed up forever, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's my thing right now, is I kind of have slowed down on collecting, you know, because I've got three totes full of toys from random lines. And I'm like, I need to figure out a plan with them, you know, because then otherwise you're just collecting for the sake of it, you know, versus displaying.
Yeah, and I'm with you. The mail-aways are probably never going to happen for me. And a couple of those green cards, like 1, 2, 3 kids, probably never going to happen for me either at this point, unless something really drastic changes. But I guess the main event, the reason why we're all here and wanting to hear this, is this Hasbook. And I know I'm curious, how did it come to be? And what's the backstory and the genesis of that? How did this all come about?
Yeah, so it was began with a conversation. I was sitting with my buddy Chad, who's a big wrestling fan, big Hasbro collector, and we were just talking about how there's really, at the time, there were no books. Ironically enough, now there's a ton, but there were no books on WWF Hasbro's. And jokingly, you know, I said, oh, I'll give it a whirl. I'll try and make one. You know, I'm a big coffee book fan. I love buying those. I just kind of, that's another side collection I have as well. I don't think I would have done it if I'd known how difficult it was going to be. But at the same time, it was a great mental break for me. At the time I was writing it, I was in nursing school. So it was kind of nice to just be able to put the school books down and just work on the book, on the Hasbook as well. And yeah, it was definitely an evolution, you know, from what it began. I have it's kind of embarrassing to look at the page samples I have from the beginning, to what it ended up being.
You talked about this with your friend. Did you end up getting help, or was this a project all onto yourself?
Yeah, no, this was all on myself, in the sense of designing it. Obviously, you know, so many people that I would share it with would give their suggestions, you know, and then I would kind of tweak it from there. My wife, who, you know, she showed me how to use Publisher, which again, I found is not the best program to be doing for a book, but at the same time, I got so deep in it, I just had to stick with it. And yeah, it was just the big turning point for me. I met a really nice guy named Enzo, who lives in the UK. And he sent me a message, you know, asked me if I wanted to. So he has an entire Mint on Card collection. And he asked me if I wanted to use the photos of his Mint on Card collection. And so that really kind of changed the direction, because up until then it was just loose figures, you know, in there. And so then I was like, all right, well, we really got to make this detailed. And then, you know, the Hasbro cards to me are so awesome, in the sense that they have so much on them, you know, they have so much detail, they have so much energy to them. But, you know, mostly as a kid, you just rip them open and you may save the bio card, but everything else gets thrown away. So I tried to find as much as I could from each card, you know, that I could showcase. So that's where the real wrestling action, I you know, scanned them and blew them up as well so that you could actually see all those little intricate things that I don't think we really noticed as kids.
And so his collection afforded you kind of a uniformity on your pictures, whereas if you had tried to do it one figure at a time, you would have had as close as you could have had, but it wouldn't have turned out the same.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think the big thing is I wanted this to be a good book. You know, I didn't want it just to be, you know, some Google images that were thrown together. You know, so it was one of those, once I found the format, and the white background was really important to me because I thought it looked a lot more crisp. You know, so, and we actually ended it was really wonderful. We developed this wonderful friendship. I mean, we still message, you know, almost on a daily basis today. But it was nice because, you know, I could go back and forth, say, all right, I have this, but can you take this way? Or, you know, if a photo wasn't good, you know, he was willing to retake it for me. And I think he had a lot of fun with it too, because he was able to start digging through. I think at the time, you know, he was, they were kind of in boxes. So he got to unpack all these figures, and especially with the rings, you know, he got to show, you know, off the JCPenney ring and the King of the Ring, all those kind of things. So, yeah, so we had a lot of fun with it.
And what's your connection, or how does the LJN book coincide with this Has book?
Yeah, so Brutus Valentine, who wrote the book, that's his little pen name, the LJM book. So he just randomly messaged me on Twitter one day. I think it was something regarding my title. You know, the title I have is Has Book, A Collector's Guide to Real Wrestling Action. And that was Chad's idea, actually. But it was kind of a reference to the real wrestling action that we see on the cards. And it was just one of those. He actually is a publisher himself. He publishes books. And it just became a thing where we started messaging back and forth because I needed a lot of advice. I had a lot of questions. And then when it got time that the book was ready to be printed, I was like, well, we might as well just partner up with it. And he was willing to do it. So he's actually in Australia. So we were able to work out, you know, a way to ship the books and, you know, kind of split the load, as it were, for the global shipping as well. But again, a wonderful friendship that I formed, you know, again, just out of the blue. So
it's amazing how those friendships develop in this hobby, this wrestling figure community that's out there. And it happens almost on a daily basis if you're, you know, depending how active you are, but it sounds like you formed some really strong ones there. How long has that LJN book been out there? I discovered it, I have to admit, through finding your Has book.
Yeah, so I don't know the exact date, but I think it's been about a year or so that his book has been out.
You mentioned there's other books out there now. Is there any animosity about that, or is everyone kind of getting along as far as, I don't know the timeline for whose books came out when or whatever, but is everybody playing nice?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had nothing but positive feedback from everybody, you know, and that's been my goal. You know, I've been very, you know, cognizant of that. You know, this is for fun. You know, we're all doing this for fun. This is supposed to be a fun hobby. You know, I make sure not to get involved in any drama. But no, one of the books was written by Kevin Williams. And, you know, he and I messaged as well. You know, he's a very nice guy. And then the other one, the wrestling figure retrospective, I believe it's called. You know, he's always liking my stuff. And, you know, it's for the fun of it. You know, we're not in competition. It's just for the fun of it. So
that's awesome, man. And I definitely appreciate your positive approach in avoiding the drama. It always kind of blows me away as an adult collector of toys that there seems to be cliques, and you know, some people are just not happy unless they're creating drama. So I'm with you, man. If I see that stuff, I turn and go the other direction. But I noticed on your Twitter that you mentioned a demolition discrepancy, like as far as, was it Smash's face paint? Did I have that right?
Yeah, so it's just, again, just crazy little OCD stuff that, you know, once I got knee deep into this, I started really diving into it even more. You know, it was just that somebody mentioned that the face paint, there's a slight difference, very slight, between the Series 1 and Series 2 Demolition Smash in the color red. And I'd have to look. I apologize for not knowing off the top of my head, but I think their first one is series one is actually a little bit brighter red. And that was one of those where I did a lot of research. You know, I have a lot of friends that are people online that have mint on card ones, and that was a consistent change that I was able to find. Because you always worry, obviously, paint differences. It could be just from the paint factory. It could be that day. You know, there's a lot of things that can contribute to that. But that was one consistent change, that the red was actually slightly different.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I'm gonna go straight to my demolition figures when I get home tonight, and because I don't know which one I have, I just saw that and thought that was an interesting thing. I'm with you. I'm not really so much of a completionist, but I am fascinated by the different runs or productions that they do on those. So I'm excited to see which one I have.
It's, you know, and again, it's one of those things where part of it was that I began the collector's notes section in the bottom, and there was a couple of guys, Brutus Beefcake being one, but Demolition Smash being another, that I really didn't have anything for. So then I started looking into, is there anything, you know, with it? And yeah, look, now Series 1 Smash is bright, that has a brighter face paint. So but that's how that came about.
Interesting. Yeah, and I noticed there was another tweet that you had sent out about the original concept for the Macho King, right?
Yes. So the Series 2 Macho King was, so initially the controller, which is the drawing that, you know, the one of the designers like Ron Rudat would do, actually showed him with a bandana. And then he ended up being produced without one.
Yeah, and there was a open fist, I think, or a closed fist, maybe.
Oh yeah, yep. The fist was different as well. So the drawing, the Ron Rudat drawing, I believe it was Ron Rudat, had an open fist that would be similar to the Jim the Anvil Neidhart figure as well. So, and that's where, you know, I mean, it's so much fun just to get obsessed with that. You know, why did it change? Why was it such a small change? You know, made versus this and that, you know, and I guess it makes sense, you know, with the to hold the scepter, but at the same time, it's just, you know, like the bandana, no bandana. And I always wonder if maybe the character just changed, you know, gimmicks just slightly, or, you know, because the Macho Man went into the Macho King around that time as well. So maybe they did it for that reason.
I'm with you, man. I see things like those two Macho Mans are pretty spot on the same. Obviously, the King and the Man on the tights is the one major obvious difference. But I always look at stuff like that, and maybe like you mentioned, the Bushwhackers, and wonder, was there supposed to be another tag team that at the last minute it didn't work out, and so they had to go with another release of the Bushwhackers? Or, you know, was there somebody that was going to be in that Macho Man spot, and maybe they left the WWF. I don't know. I'm a nerd. I'm fascinated by that stuff.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. You know, cause there were, in which he would have been around the same time, there was a reference slide, which are those little photo negatives. Well, they're not negatives, but they look like the old photo negatives we'd get, you know, with the old cameras of Saba Simba. And again, no drawings been found of him. That's the only reference to him. But again, that was always an interesting one to me as well. Again, it's such a random wrestler as well, because I mean, I only remember him in the Royal Rumble. That's the only time I ever remember Saba Simba wrestling.
True or false, you're going to have another book in the future after this Has book?
you know, at this time, no. If we do a re-release of the Has book, you know, I think more and more stuff will come out, so I'll definitely try and keep it as updated as I can. I thought about a WWF Bendham's book, but I'll be honest with you, at the same time, I'm just, you know, starting the new job and everything like that. And the amount, I don't have enough of them. It would just take a lot to find them, especially those, the end series, because I know those are going for thousands of dollars each as well. So we'll never say never. But yeah, at this time, it's going to be a while before I tackle another book.
All right, guys, I tried to get him to do it. So what for people that are living under a rock, or maybe they're not on Twitter or something, where can people find your social media? Where can people find your book? I know I've got my order in, but hopefully if people haven't seen that, I highly recommend you get over there and check it out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I appreciate it. Yep. So I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm even on Facebook. So it's basically just at Hasbook. For the actual book to be ordered, we have a website. It's www.thehasbook.com.
Awesome. Grenville, I really appreciate you coming on. You know, little kid me would have been out of his mind ecstatic for this stuff and to see books, and I always wanted more and felt like everything was so limited, so I waited all these years. But when guys like you put stuff like this out, it really completes me as a collector and a wrestling fan, and I just think it's awesome, and I hope everybody gets out there and supports you, man. I want to thank you again for coming on. And one of my final traditions that I do here on the show is I like to ask my guests to pick any wrestling theme, past or present, that you want, and we will head out on that song.
Oh, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for having me on today, and I will go with the Heart Foundation theme. Can't go wrong with that one.
Original Heart Foundation. All right, man, thank you again, and we hope the books sell well, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, man, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
Take care.
Before I get out of here, I'd just like to take a moment to give a thank you and some quick shout outs. First of all, I have to say thank you to Grenville for taking the time to come on this podcast and talk to me. If you haven't ordered his book, get online and make a purchase, support him, and be the proud owner of an awesome book. I know I did, and I can't wait for it to arrive. Shout out Grenville, and shout out Hasbook. I want to give a very special shout out and happy birthday wish to my pal, Drew Venzel. Drew's an awesome guy and a positive force in the wrestling figure community. If you're not checking out his podcast, get over there and check it out, Tales from the Estate. Drew does a killer podcast with his wife, Caitlin Venzel, and I look forward to it each and every week. I'm super excited to see what they've got up their sleeve for this birthday edition coming up this Wednesday. Hop over on your Twitter and show Drew some love at Drew Venzel. Happy birthday, Drew. Shout out Tales from the Estate. Shout out Scott and Jeff, Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. Local boys made good, pals of mine. Get over there, support them, buy a shirt, buy the shirt. Shout out Scott and Jeff, Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. And shout out to Scott, Eddie, and Adam over on Drunk Wrestling History. Fun listen, fun guys, and just a good time. They're not always accurate, but they are always drunk. Shout out Drunk Wrestling History. Shout out Breaker and Bane. Breaker and Bane's Power Hour. Fun show. Never disappoints. Check them out. Shout out Breaker and Bane and their Power Hour. And shout out to Breaker on his other podcast. You know it's fake, right? Sometimes it's a peek behind the scenes of professional wrestling, and sometimes it's wrestling fans talking about the dirtiest word in professional wrestling. Shout out Dylan and Rob, the Wrestling Figure Database. This database continues to grow, continues to impress me, and I can't stress it enough. If you're not checking it out, get over there and do it now. They're adding galleries for each individual wrestler as the days pass, and I can't begin to thank these guys for the job they've done. Shout out Dylan and Rob, Wrestling Figure Database. And as promised, we had a Figure Kingdom t-shirt giveaway. And the winner of that shirt was Jason Whitaker. Congratulations, Jason. Email me your shirt size and I'll get that right out to you. Thank you for listening to Pulling Up a Chair with a Chair Shot. If you enjoyed it, please help put the show over by telling a friend and clicking the subscribe button on Anchor, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. You will get instant notifications whenever a new show drops. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at a Chair Shot. That's ACHAIRSHOT. You will want to keep an eye on my socials in the coming weeks. Trust me. Feel free to leave questions or audio comments on the show page on Anchor FM's website or email them to me directly at hairshot@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in again, and until next week, Bobby.
All good things must come to an end, right?
Well, every time changes
everything. And a friend in need is a pest.